Hey guys, how are we doing? Back for another episode from OCR Audio. Myself and Jack joining you tonight. Jack, how are we doing?
I'm all good. I am very good.
Except for my legs. So we've got a bit of episode tonight about FKTs, fastest known times. We both had a little recce or go our perceived routes in different parts of the UK. So we're going to chat through how we got on and what our plans are with doing FKTs. We're also going to delve into a little bit of coaching around running, a little bit of information about our own running, and a few other bits, Jack.
Yeah, man, I really enjoyed this episode. Something slightly different. You know, we haven't got a guest on today, so... And obviously, something we both, like, really enjoy doing is coaching and running, obviously, in OCR. So, sort of putting them all together and mashing a bit of a Sunday night chat, like, training slash, you know, what's going on in the world. Talk a bit about CrossFit, you know, that type of thing. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Hope you guys enjoy it too. So, here it is. Here's Jack and Luke talk. And, yeah. Talk. We hope to do it again, and we'll see you soon. Enjoy.
Right, so here we are. Lockdown seems to be coming towards a bit of a closure or easing somewhat with the new introduction of bubbles. And
bubbles, darling. OCR,
and OCR races are back. Obviously, Jacksonville happened in America this weekend, I believe.
We did, yep.
Also, there have been live OCR races in Poland. They had the is it Ninja Games or something over there? They had a short course event. I'm sure we'll start seeing more countries have events as well. So we seem to be alive.
Slowly opening. I think we're a little while before England gets there yet with the old mass participation, but yeah. We're definitely getting something closer towards feeling like, you know, definitely the atmosphere seems to be sort of lifting, doesn't it? And people seem to be happy about being out and stuff now in their bubbles. I mean, I've just been for my run, and definitely the general attitude around town and running through like the nice little areas and picnic areas that people are using them and walking and, you know, obviously safely. But yeah, it feels good to actually finally be out and see other people out and not such a barren, you know, run anymore. It's quite, you know, busy but safe. Good.
Yeah, it's good to see. I went for a run this morning and probably bumped into, ran past probably about six or seven other runners.
You're not a very good runner if you're bumping into them, mate. Jesus, you're not supposed to hit the people.
I was going pretty fast. No, I saw a group of like four in a run, and then the rest were singles just out and about on the trails. But the trail route I did was very sparse. There wasn't that many people, probably 10 in total. Mm. But it was early doors, got out there in the middle of Dorset, so it was good fun.
Yeah, sweet. So let's tell the listeners, Luke, what we've been doing the last few weeks, because I'm actually quite annoyed. I said to my mate the other day, I'm annoyed that I found it quite late in the lockdown. But so I suppose let's start from the beginning. Obviously, we've had lockdown. Races are currently in England not happening.
Yes.
We're obviously quite keen on the Spartan races and Tough Mudder. They've obviously been cancelled as well this year. Spartan actually haven't come out and said, we're not racing. They still keep moving their races. Personally, I would prefer it. I don't know about you, if they just come out and say, look, we think this is not happening. We're just going to cancel it next year. But I can see from a business reason why they wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So we're in this sort of up and downer, you know. And I was saying to you the other day on the phone, I was saying like, I'm just getting to the point now where I've trained really hard. Mm. I'm now getting to the point where because I'm not racing from my training, I'm getting to a bit of a lull in my training. And like the last 2 weeks have just been a bit, you know, and my training hasn't quite been to where it has been. My ankle started playing up again last week. And it's just a bit like, oh my God, I just want something to change now. And like you said earlier, it is changing, but there was no real positivity on the horizon for like a race aspect.
No.
And you mentioned to me that you were going to do this FKT, which is like, ah, cool. You know, and I know about FKTs. I've heard about them and very big in America, obviously. And you get, you know, you like your Ryan Atkins and even Aaron recently.
FKTs are fastest known times.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. fastest known times. Well, I explain it like this because actually I didn't realize how little I knew about these damn things. So Luke says to me last week, oh, yeah, there's a website and everything. So I'm like, what? Hold on. So, yeah, so www.fastestknowntime.com basically is an FKT route map finder, I suppose, so you can zoom around, find some routes. Kick in, Luke, when I screw this up.
To bring it in, think Strava segments, but for big routes, famous routes, kind of point-to-point routes. There's not many on there that I've seen that are rounds or returns, but they're kind of like your larger, longer routes. There are a few smaller routes.
The smaller routes are more like 15, 16, 17 miles, aren't they? They're not like a 5K or...
No, you don't really... I haven't seen any 5Ks, any 10Ks. It's kind of like your 10, 12 mile plus, definitely. And then you've got your massive ones, which are like 60, 50 miles. Think coastline of UK, the lakes, anywhere that you can think of that has like some lovely
national trails.
Yeah, national trails. It's generally trails, trail running. It's not really road running on there, but there are probably some roads. Take into account like Jim Walmsley has the FKT for the Grand Canyon, which is a fucking epic one to put your name to. Killian Jornet has, I think, the Tahoe Round.
Yeah.
FKT, something like that, and other names. Ryan Kempson from OCR has got some. Aaron Newell's got some. Ryan Atkins probably has all of Canada.
People
doing them. If they're
some big names, let's put it that way. It's some bloody big names. I was looking at this map thinking, oh, okay, cool. I like this idea. And just put it out there. You can't. So, long story short, I've actually submitted a route which has got accepted. When you read the rules on the routes, it isn't like Luke said, it isn't just like a 5K up your local road. It has to have, for them to actually accept it, it has to have some either a story or history behind it or a really epic route.
Yeah.
So they tend to go towards like national paths, national trails or ways. Unfortunately, me, because we have a lot of country ways and walks, which are all sort of national paths, but none of them were on this thing. As there was one which is the East Coast National Path, which is basically 100 miles from Ipswich to all the way up to Lowestoft, basically following the national path and all the way. I'm not quite at 100 mile yet, to be fair, so I'm going to leave that one in the stupidly quick time that he's got it in. But I was looking around, I was like, oh, I quite fancy a bit of this. So I looked and I went, right, sod it, let's go close to home. I actually looked and we've got a Gipping River Trail that's here. It's a 17-mile route, basically, from Stone Market all the way practically to the back of my house. So I was like, right, screw it. I'm just going to, what's the harm? I'm going to map it out. I posted some blog about how iconic the trail was and its rivers and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, much to my amazement, it actually got accepted. So now this is accepted. So it's a known FKT now on the website, which today I've been in Recce'd, which is, I'd always suggest if you're going to do anything like this, go and Recce your route, because there's no good going ready for a race and then you get there and you're like, oh shit, I've just turned the wrong corner, or oh my God, that's not good as I thought, you know. And so I've been a wreck of this today, and yeah, I'm so glad I did, but I'm actually quite impressed. It's a really quick, I say quick, it's not that fast, but it's quite a quick 16 and a half miler, which I've done, which I'm not going to submit today's race, not race, today's timings from, because I'm going to wait. But I know this is something that people that might come and do around here, because it's quite sort of the trail is quite a common trail. So I'm expecting a bit of fierce competition later on, but that's what it's all about. And the idea is the path has to be doable for anybody to come and try and take it. That's the idea. So,
yeah.
I understand you were doing one as well today, Luke.
I did. I went out early this morning, maybe kind of to do the actual route, but also to like half recce it. It was the North Dorset Trailway. Pretty much runs from kind of some of the smaller villages in Dorset all the way down through to like a bigger town called Blandford, and then down right to the edge to like Stourpain. It said it was about 14 miles. There's a website for it. It says around 14 miles, but there was a few lanes coming off either side. So I'm not sure if they counted them as well. I clocked it at 12.70 miles from point to point. So a little bit less than the 14, but I don't really think I went wrong because I was following my route that I'd mapped out pretty well. But it was a really good route. Went through all the old kind of train stations, the very small ones when it was sweet. Trains in the villages.
Yeah.
So I've got some shots of like the little station as I went past and stuff. But yeah, very, very fast route. I managed to keep like in and around 7 minute miles. Pretty much off-road for most of it. And then you went a little bit of concrete at the end and then you went off-road again. I think the concrete was only half a mile. It was just in and around the Wimborne town area.
I like that though. Like today's trail, we had a couple of times we had to cross a couple of bridges in that. And I said to the guy I was running with, I was like, actually these bits of like hard packed floor or trail or concrete roads are quite nice because it just makes you realize your leg speed is a bit too slow or your cadence a bit low. You know, it makes you just pick up your pace a little bit, get back into the trails with the runs. But yeah, I like the concrete occasionally just to give your form a bit of a wake up call, if you like.
So I think one of the best things, well, I was just running probably about 6 miles in and I was like, fucking hell, like Dorset is beautiful. Like I was going seeing some of the massive, well, hills, small hills, but they were there. It was a lot of countryside, a lot of fields. It was, really nice. I think I've been trail running more so in the last few weeks and I've definitely missed trail running like continuously. Since it was at the beginning of lockdown and it was like, oh, don't go too far from your home. I hadn't gone to the trails at all. The ones that are very close to me, you couldn't get to because the ferry had shut. So I've literally been running on the roads around here and I think I'm done with the roads.
It's amazing how quickly you just get bored. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm experiencing the same thing like around me. I'm fortunate that I actually live on a bit of a trail route, if that makes sense. I've got four or five different trails that go off, but when you're long runs, when you're doing like 16, 17, 20 milers, you cover those so quickly and easy. You get back to the same path. You're like, well, I've done that path 20 times. I've done that path 20 times. So it is nice that now they've said that we can travel a little bit further. Yeah. And to be fair, I haven't even gone that far, but just to explore more and with people, you know, I mean, that's something we could talk about later in the podcast. So a topic that I really want to talk about, like running with friends and what have you. Mm-hmm. But, it's amazing how when you start to get out and explore, like how, like running's not boring, don't get me wrong. I mean, some people find running boring, but how when you've got a new path or something new, it's like, Christ, I've done 7 miles, or oh my God, I'm nearly there. Or, you know, it's amazing how things just keep you entertained. And I bet you had that today, didn't you? Like with not doing that route before, you know, next thing you know, you're like, oh Christ, I've nearly done this and I'm keeping my pace well and I feel good. And oh my God, things look amazing. You know, it's amazing how that happens.
Yeah, so you just see something new or you see the path goes off and you're concentrating on that or you're looking at something and you're like, oh, I've done 3 miles. Then it's, oh, I've done six. I've done 9 miles. Then you're pretty much at the end. You're like, oh, God damn.
And that's how you know you're a runner. You know how people always say, oh, I hate running. But when you can just get lost in that type of thing. And that's what makes me always jealous when we talk to these, like, especially like the Americans, where they talk about like Nicole, for instance, or when we talk about Matt Kempson the other week, when they're like, oh yeah, we're just going to go hike this trail. You know, it's like another route that I haven't done on the same mountain range. Yeah. Just like, they must go through that. Every time they go for a run, they just like, just taking in all these views and things, you know, just really enjoying just being outside. And unfortunately, unless you live in the lakes or the peaks or down in Dorset or somewhere, we don't tend to get that in England. You know, it's very
It's not too much. I do think a lot of people that don't or that aren't fond of running should try to go and run on the trails, because that is really nice when you're out there. You're kind of out in the wilderness, you're running. Obviously pick a safe trail, make sure that you know where you're going, because you can get lost pretty easy out there. Go, if you're bored of roads and you're like, running's really not for me, go and do a few trail runs. You will enjoy them more than the road. 100%
definitely make you feel freer, don't they?
Definitely.
So coming back to this FKT then, like, so I think like that's offered me something now. So like I find myself every time I've got a spare 5 minutes on the internet, on the website, like searching other routes. And all of a sudden I'm talking myself into doing like 60 Ks and 80 Ks. I'm like, where's this come from? You know, like the excitement of actually like thinking when we're out of this lockdown, you know, I'm going to get the van on the road because at the minute I'm like, my van is off the road because I was like, well, what's the point in paying for insurance and that?
Yeah.
You know, so when we get that on the road, it's just like the excitement of like throwing all my running gear in the back of a van, you know, maybe like with you or with a wife or a friend, getting in the van and just going somewhere and just going to set an FKT, you know, like
that's what it's about.
And I've got a buzz back.
I think it's right. Like I've been setting myself or I've been trying to tackle little challenges. So I've been doing some workouts online. So I've done some CrossFit workouts that I'd never done before. I took on some of the virtual races, like the OCR World virtual race, some of the Spartan races. I tried to have a crack at Murph. What else did I do? I did this Spartan Fit test where I put the both tests together. This week I thought, well, I know I want to do around about 30 miles. I know I want to do this FKT at the end of the week. But I want to see if I can do, in 1 week, I can run 10 miles three times.
Yeah.
So I can do my miles, but pretty much do them in three goes.
In three sessions, so
I managed to do a 10, just over 10 miles, a 10 mile, and today's mileage was like about 13, in and around there. So it was like 35 miles or something in the whole week. But yeah, I realized after this, I never actually ran more than twice 10 miles in a week.
Right.
And to be fair, my legs actually feel pretty fine, which is a big plus. So I was like, oh, I'm going to feel that. I'm going to be pretty knackered. But I guess just the consistency of running in lockdown has kept me going, and my legs are actually really good right now.
And what's really weird, that's you saying that, who's like, you know, a very high, especially in the UK, a high level athlete, that's you saying that. Like, how many people are out there that like might run a 30 mile week or a 25, or if you're slightly, you know, you're closer to 20 mile weeks, but yet you've never done back to back, or and then you go and race at a weekend, and some of these people are doing ultras or something stupid. And they do like a sprint or a super, and then the ultra the next day. And you think, well, hold on, you're not used to doing it in training. Why would you want to go? But they do, and it's crazy. But you do get through because that your mindset and your everything else gets you through, you know?
I think, when you, especially when you're racing, like adrenaline and competitive edge will get you through some of that stuff. But yeah, I think for me, especially with running, I've came more into running. I ran when I was younger. Didn't really run in my early to mid 20s, and I've kind of come more into running just before I've hit 30, I guess, 3 years, 4 years ago when I started OCR. There's still loads of stuff in running that I haven't really done. Haven't done an official half, have never done a marathon distance. There's loads of boxes to tick off. So it's, why not have a little look around? FKT is definitely one of them. I want to get one of those. Want to do some different routes, like you're saying, like go to different places, just really enjoy the outside racing around the UK. There's amazing places.
And would you call yourself a runner, Luke?
I'd probably say I'm a bit of a hybrid, because I'm definitely not built like some of the other runners when I go to road racing. They're a little on the leaner side, although I am fairly skinny right now. But yeah, and I don't know if I would call myself a runner as of yet. Probably a bit of a hybrid. Like I would still obviously jump into OCR. I could probably jump into a running race, definitely a trail race, but then maybe do like a High Rocks or a Decafit or something like that as well. So,
I mean, to be fair, I mean, I suppose that sounds dodgy because like, if you run, you're a runner. And I get that. Anybody that runs is a runner. But what I mean by that is like, what would we class as the sort of the markers of being a runner? Like I would say a half in 1 hour 30 is your sort of go-to, you know, a marathon in 4 hours is sort of the pace that people are aiming for, isn't it? If you class yourself as a runner, inverted commas type of thing.
I think, you've got those bookends, haven't you, of like
where you'd want to be. Obviously, you're looking for the top end of those kind of goals. You're looking to break the 120 and a half, and then you want to do in a sub three in a marathon.
Yeah.
So it's kind of those ones. I haven't done those. I've done a few in the shorter distances, I guess. It kind of depends where you are as a runner, because yeah, you're right. We are runners. We run, but I'd say I'm more gauged towards the trail running anyway.
Yeah.
I've done a few road races and they're enjoyable, but it's very different. There's a lot faster people on the roads.
It's really weird because, like, obviously when I was doing a lot of triathlon and with the club and stuff, I ended up doing more 5Ks, 10Ks, 5 milers, 10 milers than I ever did now. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like, I can't remember the last time I did it. Well, no, I can't. A marathon or a half. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And if I have, they've been trail or Venice marathon last year with the wife, which was pretty much a Venice swim. but do you know what I mean? Like, we don't, yeah, it's really weird as OCR athletes, we don't train like that. You know, we don't target a half marathon per se, do we? You know, we tend to target the crazy things. I mean, you look at like Aaron Newell, for instance, at the minute, you know, he's massively on the cycling. Ryan Atkins, I saw he was doing a Everest challenge, wasn't he, on it by himself. But it's funny how we take on all the FKTs. We tend to go the completely other end. You know, if we're not doing OCR, we're doing these really odd, crazy challenges that aren't normal.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean?
We don't go and do a normal thing like a 10K on a road. Like, I don't have the ambition to go, right, I want to go crack a 32 10K.
Yeah, I think it's one of those, it's up and down, isn't it? Like, you have, when you're like a runner, you're building up to that one marathon a year or those two marathons a year, or you're doing your half and then you're building to the marathon. A lot of people that I've ran with or in my area, there's a lot of running clubs and they're like, oh, we do our marathon training here because we're all going to the Manchester Marathon. And it's like, well, I need to do half marathon beast, a sprint, a super, then I got to go do this and this. And I'm like, well, I'm probably going to do more miles and a faster pace and different stuff. So
yeah,
we're going to run with you. They're very much, they'll build up very big. And I guess this is kind of what we've been in lockdown. We've had this massive build up time. And I guess a lot of people are going to come out the other side stronger runners or stronger lifters or something, or they're going to come out with an idea that they can do more. Like you've been training loads, now you're like, right, I can do these FKTs, I can do some different stuff. Just open their eyes to think, well, I want to do a few more bits, I want to see more stuff, I want to try a marathon, I want to try this. Maybe the virtual races have pulled some people in to do Spartan.
OCR, maybe
the OCR ones.
Interesting. Do you think that OCR athletes, when I say OCR, I think that's got anybody that partakes in OCR, prefer more of a challenge than, like, say, a roadrunner? So, for instance, that's why we go on to things like crazy challenges, like swimming the, you know, this, or bike riding this, and running on this, like, crazy, like 2 hours, 2 days, 3 days, 4 day exhibitions. You know, do you think the OCR athletes like a little bit more geared towards there than your average? Like, I don't see many 5K, like 15 minute 5K. So fast guys really going and doing things like that.
Yeah. Probably
it's so
not
specialized, you know?
Yeah. I think when you get to that level, you are either extremely good at something and you're not gonna waver from it because you're so good at it that is your field. And another thing, you've probably put tons and tons of effort, time, training into that, so that is your niche. And if you're in and around those kind of times, you're probably going to stick to your area of sport, or you may use that in another area. So say, like, you're a really quick 5K, you might go and do a sprint triathlon where you can use that pace if you can bike. Yeah.
You're never going to adventure into a 100-mile FKT, are you? Because it's just not your thing.
You doubt it, but you look at, like, well, you look at Jim Walmsley, he's gone the opposite way. He went down from, like, the massive ultras. He went to the marathon and did the Olympic trials in America.
Yeah.
And he did really well, but obviously didn't get into the trials, but he did really good. And that's crazy that he can have that kind of range.
Yeah,
it's like, it's like Ryan Atkins. I'd say he's the guy with the biggest range in our sport.
Yeah,
he can go from a 3K world OCR, which he won 1 year, and then also he is the ultra world champion.
Very similar to John, you know, it's just that range of thing, you know. And yes, okay, I think you're going to get those type of athletes every so often. Like, you know, you're always going to get a 5K who can do a 50. I mean, like, for instance, Nikolai jumps out to me. You know, he just just hit his 10K PB, which was a 32 minutes. But yet that guy could still go and rock a really quick OCR race, you know, like in the snow or up the mountains. Or so I suppose it is there, but it's just really interesting how, as runners, you can get five different types of runner, completely different.
Oh yeah,
you know, like
it's more the want and to do that. Like people can do it, but do they want to do it? Whereas I think when you do some OCR races and you do a few different races than just running, you're like, there's different options. I can do different things. Like, you've done triathlon, now you've done OCR. I'm sure there's other races and other types of events you'd like to do, maybe adventure, maybe functional stuff, maybe more marathons, maybe trail running. There's just gives you those options because you know, right, well, my body can hold up to that. I can definitely do this.
And do you think, from an OCR point of view, do you think we sort of, because we cross train more, you know, we're not scared to go in the sea and swim, or like I do a lot of open water swimming, or I get on my road bike because I still quite enjoy a long road bike, you know, occasionally. You know, do you think because we're putting ourselves in that environment more, if someone then says to you, oh, Jack, do you fancy meeting me and we'll go and do, I don't know, 100-mile bike ride, all of a sudden you find yourself going, oh, I've still got the hang of this, you know, and next thing you know, it breeds off, you know, it you know, just improves. And
yeah, definitely. I think you can kind of see that with CrossFit as well, because they do such a broad range of activities. Like, they'll be doing weightlifting and shooting, or running and then swimming, or kettlebells and then jumping in the sea, or weightlifting and loads of different things. I think with OCR, because you've got that variety of needs for the actual race, you need to be strong, you need to be fast, you need to be technical, you need to have like your obstacle skills tuned in as well. Because you're training so many different things, I think, yeah, you can kind of just say, well, yeah, I can use my fitness for this. I can use
Luke, are you saying that OCR athletes are the fittest on the earth?
Probably true.
Yeah, very true. This is really interesting. This is, firstly, before we move on, you did your FKT properly today and you've actually submitted it. What was your final time?
My final time was 1:33:24 for the time. I'll come on Strava, it comes up a little short, but the actual time was 1:33:33. It was 12.70 miles. So I've submitted it for the one-way route.
Yep.
Because there is an out and back as well where you turn around and go back. So we'll see. I've put my Strava data, I've put a few pictures on there. I did a little writing about my adventure into the deepest, darkest of Bournemouth. and I'll probably throw together some images that I took out on the run. But it was a fairly... It was like 7 minute mile, fairly. I kept it lowish, not too fast, because I didn't want to get lost, basically. And also, I wanted to take a few little pictures along the way as well. So it was good fun, though. It was great. I'll definitely do it again. I'm probably going to go do the out and back before the end of this year.
So over the next few days, keep an eye on Luke's Instagram. You'll see a nice little video there, maybe, of what we're talking about, and you can relate to what we listened to on this podcast.
Also, I was thinking before we were doing this, because I knew we were going to talk about the FKTs, do the listeners have any other challenges or kind of things that we haven't spoken about in this for us to do? Is there something else like FKTs? Is there a really good virtual event, or is there a really good like fitness test that we could challenge ourselves to do? So,
So I've just been sat having a coffee. I brewed some cold coffee before we went for our FKT. So when we got back to the house, we had cold coffee and brownie, which was amazing, by the way. The wife made it. Nothing to do with me. It's all about the wife. So we had that on the way home, and we just sat and we chatted for about an hour about this. And it is interesting how I've definitely got that mindset that I like to be challenged. That's the reason why I did the Ironman. You know, I wanted that feeling of like doing something that, you know, it's challenging. It's difficult to do, you know, and I like training. I like training for it. This FKT is the first time, like I said at the start, is giving me that. Actually, I see some. I mean, I was looking at some of these times, and don't get me wrong, like there's a couple on there. Like we just looked at the Paddy something round for Wales. So it's all 42 peaks and the thing, Bob Graham rounds, you know, and you're looking there and you're thinking, okay, some of these times, even did you know, crazy, the Land's End to John O'Groats running FKT, 2 days and 10 hours, 9 days and 10 hours. The guy averaged 90 mile days. For 9 days.
Beast.
I mean, Guinness Book of Record. I mean, take my hat off to the guy. But like you suddenly start to think, fuck, where would you even start? I mean, where would you even start with that? You know, like, but fair play to some of these times on there, mate. Some of these times. Yeah. But it's, I've got my eye on my next one. Once I've set this one, which I will do, I'm actually going to phone the river guys who cut the river paths and say, when are you next going to cut the path? And I'm going to go make sure I'm going to do my FKT the day afterwards, because right now my legs look like they've been in a fight with stinging nettles, because some of the paths are a little bit high, because in the last few days in Suffolk we've had sun, piss down rain, sun, piss down rain, just so rough. You can imagine the weeds are just like boof. And my legs are a bit red raw from weeds, so I'm going to go and do my FKT when I know the path's been cut, because I know that's going to be the fastest time possible. I say mine's a 16 mile route, so I'm looking forward to that. Actually, and now I've done it once, I'm a bit like, come on, let's do it. And then my next one will be, I think I'm going to go for it. It's depending on obviously what happens with races this year. I want to get a big one in this year. I want to test the legs. I want to go. It's an 84 mile. It's called the Sandlings. So it's from my house, Ipswich, up through to Lowestoft, but it's going through all on the outskirts of the coast. So it's a lovely route. It's 84 miles, but...
Now, did you use a GPX on your watch for that?
We did, yes.
Yeah, that's one thing that I didn't have on my watch. I had to keep getting my phone out, so I need to probably upgrade the watch so I can have directional coverage.
It does help. I mean, I've got the 935, so it's not even the newest one, but it does have Biscuit Trail, so it has the little arrow. But the best thing with it, it just beeps like mad if you go off trail. So
I
mean, to be fair, anything when you're going 16, 17 miler, 20 milers, you can still hold a good pace. And like you say, a stop for a wee or a stop for check the right, that's going to cost you time. When you're talking 50, 60, 70, 80, 1,000, 100 miles, that, you know, if you stop for 2 minutes, it's not a biggie. No, do you know what I mean?
Like, not gonna matter.
It's not going to matter too much. I mean, some of these guys, don't get me wrong, are flying through these times. But in general, it's not big. And that's the other thing, is like the pressure. The longer you go, the pressure of massively racing it goes off. You know, like me and the wife 2 years ago, we were reminiscing a minute ago and having a laugh about it. We ran around the Isle of Wight. And it took us 3 days. And that was with the wife. The FKT on the route is 12 hours. So I'm thinking shit, but I am thinking it's doable, you know, it's very doable. So my brain's going, okay, I'd like to go back there, and I've done the route, I know I can do the route, I know what the route's like.
Yeah,
so is it the future? Who knows?
Something to do at this time, definitely.
But do you find it very difficult to do things like that and still fit in the OCR season, you know, whether it be toughest or, you know, Spartan or Tough Mudder or whatever you're doing?
Yes, I probably would say if we were in full swing of season right now,
I probably
would still do this route because it's shorter.
Short and sharp, yeah. Not gonna bother you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing like a 30 or a 40 or a 50 mile. That's too much. Yeah. That would be an off-season project.
Yeah. I mean, notoriously, I normally do in August when we have that normal break. I normally do a 24-hour event and I'm trying to get to 100 miles. So I did, the first one did 60, the next one did 75. So I'm getting closer, but it does take a good 2 or 3 months to get your legs fully recovered, to get back into the Spartan swing. And then shit happens. It's always a sprint, isn't it? So you've got all these massive miles in your legs and you've got a bloody sprint to contend with. But it's one of those, isn't it? Do you pick and choose your OCR races if you're going to get into this type of, I call it racing, I suppose it is racing, but more adventuring and challenges, you know?
Yeah, well, we never know. We'll have to see what the world is like after this. Could this be the world? We don't know.
Well, definitely, running suits it, doesn't it? Because you haven't got to touch things. You know, you can do spread mass starts. And in this FKT time, you just go and do it. As long as you're submitting your time, you can do it anytime you want. You know, so you could do it in the dark of night if you wanted to and submit at night time.
A little torch.
But I mean, one thing we haven't even touched on is, like you said about challenges, is like Hyrox and Decafit and all things like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, at the minute, that's coming through. And I think that's going to be a massive thing over the next few months for sure. I think all the CrossFitters are going to jump on that. You know, will that go long? You know, will we start to have ridiculous Hyrox where, you know, you do massive amounts of time and, you know,
you never know.
Like, last man standing type thing. That would be epic, wouldn't it? Could you imagine, like, Decafit, last man standing?
Well, I definitely think there's going to be some kind of variation on this, because you've got so many people that are now fit. I guess if you're fit, it's like hard to define what is fitness, blah, blah, blah. But there's people that are really fit and they're not quite fit enough to do like CrossFit competition, or they're not quite fit enough to go to the CrossFit games, let's say, but they're doing CrossFit, they're really, really fit, or they're doing OCR, they're fairly fit. There's opportunity for them to maybe do something else. Maybe they're doing OCR and maybe the beast size, like the beast course, is a bit too long for them. Maybe their power is like a lower, maybe their 10K is really good for them, but maybe it's the obstacles aren't too light. So this kind of your Hyrox, your Decafit will really, really fit in for those kind of guys and girls that want to do something that's a bit more quicker on the running, but also has those heavy kind of obstacles that or exercise zones that are really going to challenge you. And yeah, they could do variations of that. They could have a sprint version. They can have a long distance one. I've seen on their thing as well, they've got a little plan already in place how they're going to put live events on with COVID by making the space a bit bigger, making less lanes, cleaning equipment and stuff. So they're already thinking ahead to when they're going to have events and that. So it's very interesting to see how it's all going to grow and if that space is going to get even bigger now. So obviously CrossFit are having some issues, let's say, with their...
let's talk about that.
Hierarchy. Hey guys, we're taking a little break from this podcast to chat to you about one of our previous episodes, episode 101. We had the co-founder of SOS Hydration, James Mayer, now good friend of the show, on that episode. And he was basically breaking down hydration for us, Jack.
Yeah, what a product they do as well. We learned on the show that hydration isn't just a gimmick, it is a general thing that we need to use in our races. Since then, I've actually been a big advocate of SOS, love the stuff. Got a couple of new flavours in berry and coconut. I like to mix the two together, be a bit of a rebel. But yeah, taking it every day, during races, during long runs, during bike rides, just to keep me hydrated, especially with the weather we've had in England recently being so lovely. It's all about keeping hydrated and putting that sweat in the air, electrolytes back in that you've lost during the hard workouts. Go check it out.
Where can the listeners go? What code have we got for them to check this product out?
So the great guys at SOS have given us a great code, 20% off using our code, which is OCRSOS. I believe that's all capitals, OCRSOS. And that will give you 20% off your next hydration order.
So head over to ineedsos.com to make that order. It's a weird one. Obviously, Greg Glassman, the guy who created CrossFit, the guy who owns 100% of CrossFit, stepped aside after his very public faux pas in emails and on Twitter. And then Dave Castro, the face of like the CrossFit Games, is now CEO. But is there much of a difference? Like Dave Castro, seems like a cool guy. Seems like he could lead that company, but Greg Glassman's still going to own 100% of CrossFit. Yeah, so
there's no real difference. The money, and this is the thing I've been reading. It's like, well, actually, if you're affiliated to CrossFit, he is still receiving the money. And that's what people are unhappy with, you know. And even our local CrossFit, it's on my same land as my place. They've now changed their name and completely come away from the affiliation of CrossFit. And I think there's a 1,100 last time I looked boxes that had done that. They'd pulled their CrossFit affiliation. Oh. Obviously, Reebok have pulled their...
end of the year Reebok will.
So, man, that's a massive thing. From really a silly error of comments, he's caused massive focus. But
he just made unnecessary comments that were he did not think at all when he was making any kind of thing. The email or the Twitter, their stupidity basically, and uneducated from him, who is probably one of the most educated people that's around. He managed to program a whole workout methodology that thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have brought into. But then he's shown that he's probably the most uneducated person on the other side, where he had no social understanding at the moment. But swiftly moving on from his idiosyncrasy, they haven't changed it, have they? They've just kind of shuffled, I guess, to the right. They've just shuffled to the right-hand man.
But I think people are aware of that. And like I say, now CrossFit's going for this strange thing. I think boxes individually aren't going to change much, but it does make you wonder, now they've come away from the CrossFit affiliation, how is CrossFit going to look in a few, you know, in a few next few months, few years, whatever? You know, do you think it'll change much, or do you think they'll go more of an approach of, like you said earlier, head over to more things like High Rocks and things like that, because they can now?
I don't know. I think it's weird. I always thought it was kind of weird to have a gym that was very, you were paying for an affiliation. Yeah. It's very much like a franchise, let's say, like a Subway, very American style of business, where you had one product and then you replicated that product over and over again around the world, in America, around the world. It's very weird for like a person to start a gym. You could just teach the same methodology. And I guess there's obviously a lot of plus points to being a CrossFit affiliate. I'm sure they have lots of discounts on courses, stuff with CrossFit HQ helping them out, marketing. Obviously, the CrossFit name is quite...
Yeah, it's the branding's the big one, isn't it, I suppose.
But I think all the gyms that are going to move away from it, I think they're probably going to be fine. Like, you've seen Jason Kalipa move all of his gyms away, and he's got a deep ingrained history of CrossFit. He had been in, like, the games, I don't know, 3-4 times. He was a really famous competitor back in the day. He had like 4 or 5 gyms, I think, and they've all moved on their own thing, but they will definitely still obviously give a great product, and I'm sure that it'll be almost no different.
I mean, I suppose with the whole COVID thing going on at the minute, it hasn't made much difference to events or anything like that, because they haven't had to change a lot, have they? Because not a lot going on, is it? And even most CrossFit gyms, especially in England, aren't even open yet, because gyms aren't open and across Europe. So it's quite a good time to transition, maybe, if you're a CrossFit owner.
Yeah, I think so. It gives like that opportunity just to change stuff. Obviously, you've got the Rogue Invitational event that's happening right now on YouTube, online. They removed CrossFit from their little competition. They didn't want to be a sanctioner anymore. So that was obviously a big call for them. But it's nice to see there's live competition happening. Obviously, we've had a few live bits of sport and that.
It all goes peak time when the Premier League starts next week, though.
That is it. The Premier League is back. I think a lot of sports in America are going to be starting up. NBA, NFL, that's all going to be starting. I think we're going to slowly see sports happening again. Obviously, you've seen the Bundesliga happen. It's been going, a month already?
Yeah.
It's just crazy that they've had that. And then in New Zealand, they had a full, I think it was a rugby league game, crowds, full crowd.
It's crazy, isn't it?
No social distancing.
New Zealand's been really...
They've not registered I think they didn't register one person.
No, so that's really
good. They attacked it all really well. They managed to quarantine. They've closed the country. Now you can see how quickly, how precise their management was to get it done.
That's promising, man. That's good.
Yeah, they're back.
It's good.
In the world of OCR, I think we, especially UK, we're going to drive through and then we'll see. I'm going September. Personally, I don't think we're going to have that August event. I think we're personally going to have a September and further on event, but we'll see.
Do you think the September event will be normal, or do you think it will be COVID safety, as in washing hands, single lanes, all that type of thing? Or do you think we'll have a normal race, but it will be, you know, like, to like restricted numbers, no crowds, no toilets, no registration, that type of thing?
It'd be very interesting to see. I kind of think it will still be wash hands. I don't think it'll be a competitive event. If Jacksonville was anything to go by, there was a lot less numbers. They were sending people off like in their own individual little bits. There were a lot of stop-start stations to wash your hands, et cetera, et cetera.
Will you go do it, Luke? So say, for instance, in September, they say, right, we're putting on, a race, East Midlands, whatever. Yeah. But non-competitive, got to wash your hands before everything. Will you go do it?
It's tough because...
As a Spartan pro, would you?
Yeah. It's tough because obviously we're in the sport for the competitive side. I think right now, if it was close to me, like within a drive, if it was in Scotland, probably not. But if it was closer to me, like let's say Piffingford, that was the one they were doing, I probably would. Yeah, I probably would go down there. It'd be great to see everybody. It'd be great to see all the other pros. Great to see the build team, et cetera, et cetera. I probably would go down there just to mingle, to catch up, just
more of a socialized thing.
More of a socialized, like if it's not competitive, then it's fine. I would love to just get out on the course, maybe
have a bit of fun.
Yeah, maybe do a bit of coaching, chat to some people, have a bit of fun out there. If it was in Scotland, I probably wouldn't travel for that because that's a long way, and at the moment holiday days are at a premium. Because you've got to save those, because later in the year, we never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. I don't know. A part of me wants Spartan UK just to turn around and say, look, we can't put on full proper races. Let's just go next year. But I know from a financial business point of view, that might not be doable. I mean, if it was me and I could afford it, I would start the races in January. You know, let everyone have a Christmas. Because the thing is, a lot of us guys, right, and not us, everyone, is training at some way, you know, like at some point we need to just either back off or do something else or rest or
I think
drink loads of beer, you know.
Till the last one got cancelled, I was pretty much sticking to my training plan of I'm gonna taper here, I'm gonna hit these markers here, I want to keep my training here. I'm still going to be doing like lots of pull-ups. I'm still going to be doing obstacles specific more stuff as well, and I had that in mind. And then when that one got cancelled, I was kind of like, I'm taking out the obstacle stuff, I'm taking out this, I'm just gonna do some enjoyable stuff until we have an idea. I think I'm still going to keep my fitness level up good. I'm not going to ease off and have like a massive rest time. Probably going to keep going the rate I am now, and then start throwing some more specific stuff in a month out or maybe 6 weeks out, when we know that that race is going to happen and we know it's going to be competitive.
I suppose in general, like for instance, a school start to go back in September, if restaurants and leisure places start to open up, we know they're allowing that to happen, then we can start to gauge from that. Currently at the minute, you can't have any more than six people. You know, so there's no way even a safely run race can happen with anyone, because you can only have six people, you know. So
I think it's all a case of it's wait and see. We have to just, like, for them as well, I think obviously Spartan HQ, bless them, they're just sitting there waiting for the government. I know I'm waiting for the government to say what I can do with my work next. Can I go back? Can I do this? How many people can I have? and you just don't know. There's you can't ask anybody. It's just they'll give you information when it's ready.
Well, let's just hope so. Let's cross our fingers and hope for a race soon, because I know we all like to race, whether it be for fun or competitive or whatever. Just let's just hope soon we can get a race. Question for you, Luke. In this period, so what we've been like 12 weeks now in lockdown, what have you learned most about yourself as an athlete?
Ooh, most about myself, I think.
Something you wouldn't have necessarily thought of if you were just doing your general season. Like, what's this time made you appreciate more, maybe, or learn more, or, you know?
I think I've learned more than I have from doing, like, big blocks of training before. I think before, because I had such a kind of a specific nature to the training, like, right, I'm training for a beast, I'm training for this, I need to do X, Y, Z. I think now, because I've just been taking on a few more of these challenges, a few more kind of just out there things, kind of learned that in exercise areas, I don't do too well when the reps get really high.
Right.
I've kind of found that continued rep exercises of, like, when I hit about 30 minutes, if it's just exercises that are keeping going, I probably struggle in and around that 30-minute mark.
So your endurance, like your rep range of endurance, starts to struggle at 30.
Yeah. So say it's an exercise, like take Cindy Ward, for example. It was like 15 pull-ups, 10 push-ups or 5 squats or something like that. I think it was about 20 minutes and I managed to get through that one okay. I was like, okay, that's good. Then when I went and did like the Murph style workout that I tried, it took me 45 minutes or 42 minutes. But definitely when I hit that 30-minute mark, I was like, yeah, I'm struggling now.
You knew about it. And that's really interesting to say that, because if we relate that to, like, for instance, OCR, I remember when I did my first ever beast in Windsor and I cramped up about 12 mile. Got through the rest of the race, happy, finished ninth, blah, blah, blah. The rest is history. When I look back at that, I was like, why did I feel so much shit at like 12 miles? And 9 times out of 10, I hadn't gone more than 12 miles in my training.
Yeah.
You know, a bit like Morzine when we said, you know, like, oh my God, I hit the wall at like 15 mile. Why is that? Because really my longest ever run had been about 15 mile and not at 7,000 feet of elevation.
Yeah.
So same what you're saying. I mean, like, and a good way to combat that, as a coaching point of view, I'd say, okay, Luke, so you want to train more at that, get on a watt bike or get on a treadmill, go wear yourself out for 25 minutes, then do the workout. You know, you want to get good at being uncomfortable, basically, but you want to get good at doing the workout when you're puffing. Puffing, fatigue. And too many people go and do these sessions completely fit. And it's like, oh yeah, I can bang out 30 burpees. That's great. Do that once you've done, you know, the Morzine Mountain or Dolomite Mountain, or even in the UK, you know, once you've trekked through a load of shit at freaking Windsor,
You'll feel it, you know,
and there's a reason why your legs aren't working quite the same as they were before.
For sure.
You haven't put yourself in that situation in training. So it's really interesting you say that, because, like, that's something you probably would never have found out, because you wouldn't have been doing WODs for 30 minutes or longer if we hadn't been in the situation.
Yeah. Normally I'd been keeping it to, because obviously you get to an obstacle, generally, apart from like long bucket carries, you're doing most obstacles in, what, a minute?
Yeah.
Maximum. Some obstacles I'm getting through in like 20 seconds, 30 seconds. But so kind of my training was a bit more power-based, explosive-based. You're looking at like 10, 15-minute kind of WODs. So I was doing like kind of 3 sets of something, or I was going for about 10 minutes of 3 rounds or something about that, just to keep up that, and then add in a run in between. But then obviously just breaking that down into like a longer 40-minute, 30-minute continued movement exercise, that's when I was like, oh, yep, I'm feeling it.
And what's really interesting is, like, when I do my coaching on the bootcamp fields and stuff, if I put on the board, I don't know, if I go and writ on the board like 500 burpees, they all go, whoa, what the fuck? But what's interesting is their mindset is getting ready for 500 burpees. So if I then rub that out and put 10 burpees or 30 burpees, all of a sudden, the mindset was already set for 500.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it is that as well. It's like you've got to put your mind there as well. And you see your workout is 30 minutes. You might pace, or 45 minutes, you might pace yourself better than that 10 minute you were doing initially. Because let's be fair, if someone says to you, come on, mate, go full outfit, it's only going to take you 10 minutes to do this WOD. Nine times out of 10, you're gonna go out as guns blaze as you can. If you know it might take you 45 minutes, all of a sudden it's like, well, actually, I'm not going to burst out these first set of burpees or push-ups or whatever as hard as I can, because by the 10th round, I'm going to be hanging.
Pace yourself. I think that's something that you can take into a lot of things, especially in racing as well. Like, you got to pace yourself differently from a sprint to a beast. You see so many people go off in a beast so fast.
That's a real beginner's problem, isn't it?
It's not even beginners. I've seen people that I've known have raced for a while, like I've done 10, 20 races, and they're still going out crazy fast. And I'm like, you're going to drop off. Unless you've really, really changed your training, you're going to drop off.
Yeah. Have you been doing something we don't know about? Because you're going out far too quick, my friend.
Yeah. And it's the problem with that is, like, a beast, like, yes, your strengths may lay in endurance. You may be 10th, but later in the race, you might be able to pick up those places. People who have gone out too fast will struggle at about mile 9, 8. The wheels will start falling off as he comes that 10th mile, and then you're going to be picking those up. So
it's amazing how many people you overtake at like 9, 10 mile mark, isn't it?
Oh yeah, that's I think 10 mile mark in the beast is where that's where people are feeling it. They've done enough obstacles, they've done enough miles to start having that real fatigue. And then it's those last few miles where I'm sure if you ask a lot of people, like, they've overtaken a few people here and there all the way. I know Jesse did at Windsor. Jesse came back in the last mile, if that. I hadn't seen him since mile 7. And then right on the last mile, he had made up a lot of ground, made it all the way back to the front of the pack, and then obviously he went and won that race, so he must have conserved his energy and then built up slowly and started taking over 1, 2, 3 people.
Smart race game plan. Yeah
I don't know if it was race plan. I think he was coughing his guts up. He told me he was
pure luck.
but he managed to do that and do really well. So yeah, it's definitely a mental edge and a game to it all. So what about yourself? What have you learned in lockdown about you as an athlete?
Do you know what? The biggest thing for me was I took on a new coach at the start of this year, just before COVID. And as most people know, I like the longer stuff. Although I've done better at the short stuff, I do like the longer stuff. And I had this very unique way of training, completely against what you do, which is really weird because we're very similar. But I like to go long and steady, and I have done that for the last 2 years. Last year, I mixed in a bit of speed work, and that really did me well for the shorter stuff. But I found that I was really struggling, a bit like you with your WODs. I was really struggling from 4 mile onwards. So that 4 to 6 miles, I would have an absolute mare in most races. And then what would happen is I would then do what you just said with Jesse. I would catch up from 6 and go back better. But I always think to myself, if I could have a better 4 to 6 miles, so there's 2 miles in the middle, then if I could get far enough away and then speed up, I wouldn't have that lull. So that's what I've been really working on since lockdown, is just basically improving. And all it comes down to is my threshold speed. And 9 times out of 10, I wasn't running fast enough when I should have been running quicker. So, and what the biggest thing I've learned is actually I've been able to push my body in training, doing more volume at higher paces than I ever, ever thought I could. Mm-hmm. And what's really weird now is when I go for a slow run, I'm nearly a minute quicker than what I would have been slow running first time round. Just from my body pushing itself that little bit more, I've actually improved all round. And really weirdly, I've had my VO2 tested and all that sort of thing like every year. Last year I had it done. My VO2 is about 62, 63. My watch has never told me that. It's always miles out. It's always like 50, you know, like, and I've always gone, fucking Garmin, how's it supposed to know? For the first time ever since lockdown, my watch has been at 62 VO2 and my training has been like, you know, like the little training guide it gives you perfect. So maybe the watch is right and I've been wrong all this time. But what I've learned mostly is actually, you know, and this is something that I've always gone, bloody hell, Luke's gone out quick. But actually, if you teach your body to do that, it will adapt. So yeah. I've learned to adapt training stimulus, basically. So I've mixed up my training. I've added a bit more volume and a little bit quicker pace. My training is the same. Essentially, I'm very lucky that I've got Field Fit and I can do specific work and specific carries. And I've got all that. So really for me, it was just a case of like, how hard can I run, but not kill myself that it's going to screw me up tomorrow? And that's been a real fun learning game. I mean, hard, don't get me wrong. Like, you know, I did a couple of 65-mile weeks, 70-mile weeks, just where I got so high on running, on runner's high, I wanted to better myself next year. And that's where it gets dangerous, because you can then start doing too much, get fatigued.
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably why this last two weeks, I've had a bit of a downer and my ankle hurt. You know, I probably have just pushed it a bit too much, maybe. But for me, that's what it's all about. It's all about that learning my body and what I can and can't do. But I just keep amazing myself, like, how quickly I got, or shit, I feel really good for that 20 miler. Do you know what I mean? Like, amazing. And that really makes me happy. And that's why I'm so fucked off there's no racing, because I'd like to now test myself against like yourself and other guys that are coming in. But for me, knowing that actually you don't always have to be in zone two and listening to your heart rate and listening to, you know, sometimes it is good to push, and that's the body needs. And I probably wasn't doing it enough. So I've learned that about myself, which is pretty good. It's a big one for me. That's a big plus, because I can now take that into my training going forward.
How hard has it been for you to push to that kind of level where it's not devastating, but it's uncomfortable for a long time?
Weird. Because my coach says it's like steady, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that, I'd imagine, is how you run. You know, when I look at some of your runs and gone, fuck me, what pace is he in that? Like, why is he doing that on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock? Do you know what I mean? But actually, I appreciate that now more as an athlete. I mean, as a coach, I think I'm still getting my head around how that's working. But as an athlete, yeah, I understand now that how the hell, a bit like what we said about Windsor earlier, how the hell do you expect to run a 6 minute off an obstacle in an obstacle course race for 3 miles if you can't freaking do it in training?
Yeah, for sure. I think,
For me, it's a mind thing. Like, I always thought, and this is true, and I'm not saying guys go out and smash every run, because that is a newbie issue, isn't it? They go out and do a 10K every night and it's so hard. You know, I still have a lot of steady. I mean, I am still following the 80-20. So a lot of my training is at lower endurance. But when I am doing the upper stuff, I am knocking that pace up to where I wouldn't have done before. And it is uncomfortable. I'm not even into zone five stuff yet. No, I have done no short speed work. I have just played with zone three, zone, if you want to tick zones, because that's what people know. But I've played with that aerobic, anaerobic threshold, lactic threshold, if you like, anybody know what I'm on about. I've played with there. So I'm just below. So I'm going, you know, like, it's tough, but it feels good and it feels quick. And then when you start to see those numbers at like 620, 610s, you're thinking, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
that's when you start to see that pacing drop, you're like, oh, okay, I'm getting actually a lot faster.
Yeah. Yeah. But
similar to you, I've been playing around with my, I guess, my zones or whatever. Yeah. I decided that I'm going to bring down my easy pace to a quicker pace.
Yeah.
So I started dropping off 10 seconds, then 15 seconds, and I'm still going to keep trying to go down until I can take a full 30 seconds off, hopefully. The first time I did the run, I was like, oh, God, my heart rate was a little bit high, blah, blah, blah. And then did a few other runs, did that run again, and did it probably about 3 times. And then second and third time, I'm hitting the perfect heart rate for what my easy run pace would be. Right. And I'm hitting around about that pace, albeit it's on quite nice flat road. So easy running. I'm not putting myself through like real hard, sloggy running, because it will just fuck up what I'm trying to do. Like, my heart rate will just go off anyway. But definitely just seeing those little minute changes, and you're like, well, I don't know, I can actually, over a course of a period of time, I can actually change and better my running by doing a few different teensy little things, like moving one pacing down. Okay, that's actually going to make me faster in a lower pace, like my 5K is going to get quicker. I'm going to have a bit more endurance in and around your 10K to 10 miles. And then you're going to have that long run, just kind of speed a bit more in a long run distance.
That's another good thing as well. Like with my long runs, except for my FKT I've just done today, because I was doing it with a friend, but in general, my longer runs got faster. So rather than the emphasis of going out, like, oh, I'm just going to go out and do an easy LSD, for instance, you know, for me, it's a case of, right, actually, I need to start pushing some point of this run. So I might start 20 minutes easy, you know, then I might do 50 minutes, you know, at slightly, not killing myself, but like, pushing, you know, and then 20 minutes to finish, you know, and that's really helped my training. I think just like I knew it was there, but I never had the balls to try it. Do that make sense? And I think that's the difference. Like I've gone to myself, right, this is the way to do it. I've had a coach telling me this is what I need to do. Let's try it. The thing is, I had a lot of success off the other way as well. So you just don't know. Do you know what I mean? It's one and one for the other one. But at the minute, I seem to be getting a lot of success from doing this. So I'm going to play around with it. It's all a learning curve. Like I say, from coaching, it doesn't necessarily mean that the guys that I coach, that's going to suit them. But you know, if I have someone that gets like stuck or someone that feels the same thing, then okay, let's try this or let's try it. And that's where the, I love it for that reason.
For yourself, especially, you got to look at two things, because you're an athlete and a coach. Pretty much you've got to have that toolbox as a coach to like use the different styles of running for different people, because it's very specific. People have different needs, different requirements that they need to improve on. But as an athlete, you also have those needs, you also have the requirements. So it is always good to have like a coach or somebody to kind of open your eyes to something that you think that you thought, maybe I'm not going to use that, but somebody shines a light on it and you're like, oh, I could actually try that. This could be what changes it for me, because the longer you run, the more times you do that style of run, the more times you've tried that style of preparation or that style of heart rate running, then if you've got something else thrown in there, it's going to open up a whole new avenue for you.
And what and what's amazing, and that's just what you said, like for me as an actual athlete, like I'm now combining what I did last year, you know, with what I've done since this year, and maybe even a little bit about what I did 2 years ago. Like for instance, I said to myself the other day, you know, I haven't been out on my bike for a long while. You know, was it the bike ride that was making my legs stronger for this particular type of race? Or, you know, I haven't done this for a lot. I notoriously played water polo for 10 years, four times a week. I haven't done that in the last 2 years. So has that had an effect on my short, hard, quick interval style training?
Definitely. You know,
potentially it has, yeah. So, and this is what's interesting, is putting all those things together and building a really good training plan for myself with my coach. Because the best thing about it is me and my coach, we can talk together and we get it right between us. It's not him going, you must do this and you must do that. But it is when he thinks I should, because I'm very stubborn. But in general, we amalgamate, get it all together, and all of a sudden I've got something that's very personal that works for me. Doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for you. And that's what I love doing with my coaches, like my coach athletes. I love like sitting, like on a Monday, we call them. So Sunday night, I send a form out, they fill this form out. Monday morning, I call them. I'm like, right, guys, how are we doing? What was good about this week? What was crap about this week? What do we want to change?
It's the best way.
It is the best way, because then you can amalgamate, you can work with that particular person and mix and match and try different things. Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, but the best bit is then things change. Like COVID hits, or, you know, another race comes out, or, oh, I heard you talk about FKTs in your podcast the other day. I want to go do one of them. Well, hold on. You already did 5K last week. You want to go do 100 mile next week? You know, that's the biggest, hardest thing with coaching people, is telling them that actually, okay, yes, I might do it, or Ryan Atkins might do it, or Luke might do it, but doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing. We don't have to go run a 5K really hard one day, then 100 miles next week. No, that's because the problem is they're paying up to these events, and they're if they're doing it for fun, it's hard to tell someone like, maybe that's not a good idea right now. Maybe give it.
Don't run 20 miles the week of your race.
Yes.
In one day.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And that's the hardest part. It's sitting down, talking to them, making them realize that it's not the clever move. Longevity and consistency is a big thing for me that I've learned. You know, like, it doesn't, okay, I've done 12 weeks of it, but really, I need to keep that up for another 12 weeks or another.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that's consistency of keeping it up.
If you're out there and you're listening and you've got a coach who doesn't ask for your feedback on your plan, get a different coach.
Yeah,
because 100%. As an athlete, you should always have some feedback. It's when you are doing the exercises, when you're performing their plan, you are the one that knows how it feels
to do it
for you. Like, you need to be able to say that across to your coach and have them adjust what is needed in your plan. It's never good to have like a one side thing. So yeah, it's great that you're calling them and like getting them involved in the plan. I think that's the way forward for all kind of coaching. It needs to be two way street.
And I mean, to be fair, like, other than your occasional like top athlete that's going for PBs and specific races, like we might have five races of the year planned out. A lot of the guys that I coach don't. They have the typical 50 planned races planned out for the year. And especially the last few months, it's been a logistical nightmare to be a coach because things get moved and you don't know what you're training for and blah, 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 blah. Do you know what I mean? So it's always a moving goalpost. The goalposts are always moving. It's always everything's training, injury, for God's sake, you know, food, nutrition, all these things thrown at you. Boom, 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 boom. So yeah, definitely make sure you're communicating with your coach and telling him how you feel and don't train through injury because it will just kick you in the ass later on.
Yeah. It's not good.
Before we go, Luke, I want to ask you another question. Something that I found today. Okay. So since lockdown, obviously we've had this strict ruling where we can't be with someone, blah, 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 other than people we live with. So a lot of the running I did on my own. So when I was going through this transition of putting more runs in, blah, 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 a lot of it was structured. Great. I can do it all on my own. What a difference that is, running by yourself. Like, massive a difference. COVID's now relaxed. We can meet with people, social distance and run, which I've started doing the last few weeks, which has been great for my runs but what I'm finding, and this is nothing on Ross, if you're listening, sorry, Ross, but what I'm finding now, like, I've got back into that habit of just turning it into a nice steady run with a mate. Now, I'm not saying that's the bad thing to do, but if you've got a specific run to do, it is really good to run that specific training session by yourself. Go through the pain. Unless you've got fortunate enough to have someone that's as quick as you or quicker.
That's definitely what I find. Definitely what I find. I do most of my runs solo. There are an extremely lot of fast runners around me, but they do specifically kind of their running plans. They're moving towards marathons or half marathons or stuff, and it may not fit in with my personal races because we obviously have loads of different distances all in the same season.
Yeah.
So generally I do most of my runs on my own. I've met up with people to do a couple of trail runs when it's been normally my easy run is my run that I'll try and find somebody, or maybe if I'm doing shorter speed work that I think people can jump in on, because I'll still end up doing that majority by myself. But yeah, it's the long, easy run, which is what I like, teaming up with somebody and going out for a run. But yeah, when you're doing a specifically tailored session, I do those almost all on my own.
And they will really help your racing.
Oh, for sure.
Massively, because you have to go through by yourself, you know, and you know, you've got a 10 mile speed work or whatever it is, you know, if you're going through that in your head by yourself, then that's the closest thing you're going to get.
It's disgusting.
Oh yeah. Horrible.
I think the worst, one of the worst runs I ever did, worst and best, was 10 miles. And I think I had to do like 6 minute pace. Yeah. I think I did hour and 1 minute, something like that. And I did 5 miles out, 5 miles back on my own at night. Yeah, it was street lit, but this was
on your own as well.
Yeah, this was probably a year and a half ago or something.
And that's a seriously quick time, by the way.
Well, thank you. My goal is to just get under an hour. But yeah, so I did 5 miles out, 5 miles back, and it was just tough. On the turnaround, I was like, oh my God, I don't want to be here. Why am I 5 miles away from home? It's cold. It's nighttime. I should be in bed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was massive.
Like getting pissed and going clubbing.
Oh, yeah, those years are gone. I'm too old.
Yeah.
So, but yes.
But I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. I mean, like, if you have a group run, that is great. But just make sure that's your easy run, you know, or a session that you can fit into your training. Because yeah, you're, and this is the other thing about going a bit faster. I've realized that actually, if you're just going out and doing group runs, that's going to be good to a specific point. Mm-hmm. You know, you're never really going to get to that next level, you know, of athlete really. And if you're an age grouper thinking you want to go for podium, or an age grouper going into elite, or even a competitive, like a non-competitive going into age group, then really that's the sort of way you need to look to advance, to get to that next level, is those specific training sessions. Get yourself a coach or get someone to help you, you know, and get to those next levels of running. For sure. Because let's be fair, OCR is a running sport, you know.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you can hang on a set of monkey bars all day long. If you can't run, then unfortunately...
You're not going to get to the monkey bars.
You're not going to get to the monkey bars.
Well, yeah. I think that brings a close to our running and probably
FKT
more...
FKT hunting
and more coaching chat than we've done in a very long time. But it's been fun. I've enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it too. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. We don't need Natasha. Screw her.
Yeah, goddamn it, Natasha.
Goddammit. Just let the better looking two do it instead. Bless her.
Oh, we miss you, Natasha.
Come back. Yes, Luke. Well, it's Sunday night, so I'm off for my dinner.
Enjoy. Right. It's going to be lovely to chat. We will reconvene next week for another pod.
Cheers, Luke.
Bye.
There we go. That was the FKT and more coaching chat episode. Really enjoyable. We hit some great subjects in there, and really thought we got to delve into that coaching even more, I'm sure, in the future. There was loads of little points in there that I was like, oh, I could chat about that for even longer.
Sure. I do that every podcast, though. I'm like, no, forget about it.
Hold myself back.
I mean, to be fair, what we really want, guys, and we were just saying that a minute ago, weren't we, Luke? Like, what we really want is we want people to come and give us some topics to talk about, because we enjoy talking. And if we have to go low and learn, that's fine. So yeah, if you've got any topics you want us to talk about, whether it be coaching, whether it be other sports, whether it be running, whether it be just general ideas, challenge, like Luke says, if you've got challenges, let us know. We'd love to
please come with the challenges. I'm game to take on a few listener challenges. Let us know.
Yeah, definitely. And don't forget, guys, in this hot weather, make sure you're hydrating with SOS Hydrate. Go use our code for 20% off. It is OCR SOS. 20% off. Boom. Thank you very much. And we see you next week.
Thanks, guys.